What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
What's good, Atlanta? This is the Bloggin' Dirty podcast, where dirty bird is the word if you haven't heard. I'm your host, John Bueller, lead writer for FanSided. Your Atlanta Falcons are not a good football team, but I'm going to do the best that I can to try to spin some positivity here about this team that has completely hit the skids. Again, this is an Atlanta Falcons podcast tied to the Atlanta Falcons team site for FanSided Bloggin' Dirty. I'm John Bueller. I mostly cover college football for the NCAA division, but I'm from Atlanta. I live in Atlanta. This is my team. And this is what we're about, you know, trying to rise up and then getting our soul crushed there in the last possible second. But for those of you who are new to the program, we're doing two shows each week. We got one on Wednesday, which is kind of like a glorified preview. And then on Sunday or after the game, I do a reactions. They follow the same format. I go full blown Marty ball here with run, pass, punt. Basically, like two things that I feel very strongly about in the positive, one I feel very strongly about in the negative, and then one that I'm not really entirely sure about. I think it kind of creates an interesting discussion. Again, this is what Cody Williams and I do to recap games and weeks that are significant there on false start in the college division. Be sure to give that a like, listen, subscribe, review, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere there's podcasts. Be sure to do the exact same thing here. Hit that like button, smash that subscribe button. We're going to get through this because this team is certainly putting us through the ringer here. So let's not beat around the bush anymore. Let's get to our first run of the day. We got to try to find a silver lining here with the latest development of the Michael Penix Jr. saga. Okay. So in the second half of the Carolina Panthers game, part two, Penix suffered a knee injury and eventually gave way to Kirk Cousins. He came in there, offense couldn't do anything, and then Bryce Young threw for all the yards in the world, and they went to overtime and won on a field goal because the offense has completely stagnated with Cousins, whatever he's out there. This is a really tough time to be a Falcons fan. We're looking at our eighth year in a row where we're not going to make the playoffs. The team has lost five in a row. They went from 3-2 to 3-7. This is supposedly the easy part of the schedule, and they're not beating the likes of the Dolphins. They're not beating the Panthers. Didn't hold their own versus the 49ers. Could have won games over both the Colts and the Patriots, but that didn't happen. And rather than, you know, really pile on the atrocious coaching staff we have here in Atlanta, which I could go on for days, we're going to try to spin something positive here. I know it's very, very difficult to do. You've got Penix hurt for the fifth time in 8 years, whether that's here in Atlanta, Indiana, Washington, high school, wherever, it doesn't matter. You've got Kirk Cousins playing quarterback who's making a boatload of money and not playing very well. A little bit older than me, a little bit closer to retiring from what he does than I am. That's just how this goes. Our first round pick belongs to LA Rams. They're going to get somebody sensational in the top 10, and we're not going to get anybody. Even though I think James Pierce Jr. is certainly worth it, but obviously he's going to be tied to whoever the Rams get. Like, could the Rams like use this pick to draft Ty Simpson or Fernando Mendoza or Dante Moore and have a dynastic run? At the end of the Matthew Stafford there era in Inglewood, potentially that would only, you know, add fuel to the fire for being a Falcons fan. But I'm going to try my best to find a silver lining here. And here's what I'm going to say. And this is what I was thinking about, and this is what I thought about starting the show with. it's going to be what it's going to be. More importantly, it's going to make some things within the context of this team, this franchise, this organization, what have you, become readily apparent. There's going to be, like, this is going to be a way to know what coaches need to stay and which coaches need to go, which front office executives need to stay, which ones need to go. Same with the players. Who really wants to be here? Who is getting in the way of this team being successful? We thought it was Rich McKay for years. Now he's over there trying to help with FIFA and Atlanta United. Atlanta United hired Tata Martino back. Maybe that team, maybe that club won't be ass anymore. I think they also had the NFLPA survey that I think Woody Johnson, the Jets, want to get rid of. We got some of the best marks in the league, but that's not translating to wins. People may love playing here. People may love the facilities, the locker room, everything like that, the owner, but the wins aren't coming. This team is incredibly talented, but I think just getting a little bit more clarity of being very obvious of what we need to flush out, I think, is the big thing here. I think it'll become apparent that we have to move on from Cousins next year. I understand that the full and guaranteed thing kicked in for 2026. Whatever. Arthur Blank on some depot. They have money. They'll figure it out. As far as Penix is concerned, you're going to be entering year three where he started, what? 9 games this year and 3 last year. So, and then he went 1-2 last year and then what? 3-6 this year? I mean, that's a small sample size. Again, we don't really know. I mean, we look at another guy and the other guys in this draft class, quarterback, you know, whether that's Jaden Daniels in Washington or JJ McCarthy there in Minnesota. It's not working out as well as it is with, you know, Drake May right now in New England or Bo Nix in Denver or even Caleb Williams there in Chicago. What is important to understand here is just the clarity that's going to come. We're going to take a beating. We're going to get our ass kicked in most games that we play. This team may win maybe 3 more games the rest of the year. This is going to be a team that's certainly going to be worse than 8-9 what it was a year ago, or 7-10 what it had been under Arthur Smith. This is going to be a sub-500 team. Just accept that. And obviously, you know, you view the team through a different lens. I did see that a linebacker, Devon Diablo, is going to be back at some point soon. That's going to be huge because the defense kind of, I mean, Ronnie Harrison's kind of come in there and been an answer. It's really kind of removed J.D. Bertrand from the mix as much as he had been. So there's not as much of a liability there in the middle of the front seven. They still gave up 380-something yards to Bryce Young on Sunday, which is not great. But I'll say this, also Drake London's not playing next week versus the Saints. I think he's banged up. Just this is a problem of having an early bye, particularly, you know, after playing in Germany and coming back home. So these things kind of compound, if you will. But there will be clarity. It'll become apparent that maybe Kyle Pitts isn't going to be part of this team next year. Or Lebichetti's not going to be part of this team next year. Maybe Cousins, other guys, you know, you'll free up cap space, if you will. You'll find ways to pay London. You've got another year to see if Michael Penix Jr. is going to be worth getting the fifth-year option. Again, we don't really know at this point. We think he's good. We think he's being poorly coached. We think he needs to be more accurate with the football. It's a nightmare here. But I guess if there's any sort of silver lining that we're going to find here and we're going to glean from this is that, like, it's going to become abundantly clear what's going to work and what's not. And there's a lot that's not going to work. And that's going to bring some changes here because we thought for a few years that this collection of talent, this collection of coaches, front office personnel, ownership, whatever, was going to translate into a playoff berth. And it's not because, I think it goes back to the coaching staff. I think there's been a few miscues in the front office ownership. The Falcons are just kind of tight under Arthur Blank. I don't know if that's ever going to really change under his leadership here, but I don't know. You get like a fourth place schedule or a third place schedule. Maybe you can get some wins, navigate that a little bit here. Again, I don't know. Like, Carolina's clearly better than us. Tampa's clearly better than us. We're not making the playoff. This is probably a one team division, depending on what Carolina does, particularly with the NFC West having 3 high quality teams there, and San Francisco, LA, and Seattle, as well as the NFC North having 3 quality ones, and Green Bay, Chicago, and Detroit. Philadelphia is going to win the East, and then the South is going to be either Tampa or Carolina, and we're going to be sitting at home twiddling our thumbs. But, you know, the season's over once Penix got hurt. But, again, as long as we can be honest with ourselves, the franchise can be honest with themselves, then we can move forward here. All right, let's move on to our second topic here of the day with, our second run. Yeah, Tigger's acting a little bit weird. The defensive players will have to be the ones to stop the bleeding, right? I think so, too. I think what people don't understand who just follow along with the NFL and don't cover it, like I do or you guys do, who aren't as tuned into the situation, players don't, coaches don't tank, organizations. And because football is a game of pride and it's a game of injury, you got to play hard on every down, because if you don't, you're going to get hurt. And even if you don't, you still might get hurt. This is a gladiator sport. It's a collision sport. This is what happens. And, you know, even if you're not going to be part of this team next year, whether that be Ebiketie, whether that be Pitts, whether that be anybody else conceivably in that direction, they're going to want to put positive tape out there for somebody in the representation. He's like, hey, you want to get this guy? Look at this cool play he did. He did this for the Falcons, who went 4-13. Can you imagine what he's going to do for you on your team next year? And then someone will pay a premium for him. And we won't, and we'll reload this thing here as best as we can. But I think on defense, you got to see the growth of guys like Jalen Walker, James Pierce Jr., Xavier Watts, Billy Bowman Jr., all rookies. None of them have really hit the rookie wall as much. You've seen all these guys make plays at times across the board. And I think for the most part, like, you can be excited about that. You can feel pretty good that the defense is going to figure it out. The problem is, I don't know if the coaching staff is going to be intact. Is Jeff Ulbrich going to be here beyond this year? We're just running through defensive coordinators like the late Larry King did wives. It's so frustrating. But look, I would much rather keep Ulbrich than Raheem Morris or Zach Robinson. And we'll just leave it at that. I don't think I'm, you know, going out here on a limb to say that. But look, the offense is going to pull back. Cousins is, it's a different sort of look. There may be more opportunities for him to go under center than Penix does, because Penix really didn't play that very much in college at Indiana or Washington. Cousins, that's what he did, you know, in the NFL for years, and at Michigan State as well. But he has no mobility anymore. And you know, even running the pistol with Robinson having a little bit more running way to move around and everything like that. But it becomes very predictable, like, what's going to happen. Like, a pistol, they're going to run. Shotgun, they're going to pass. It's Zach Robinson's just getting figured out left and right. And he needs to get a still water, man. We got to get a new offensive coordinator, got to get a new head coach, maybe get some new players, maybe a new GM. And again, I'm not the one who wants to move on from Terry Fontenot as much as everybody else does. I think we just need somebody who's competent on the sidelines, because we don't have that anymore. So it's over. It's so cooked. This is exactly what happened 15 years ago when he was the Buccaneers head coach, and it didn't matter. He won some games. People liked him. And then once people made like an adjustment on what he's doing, he couldn't adapt. They lost a boatload of games in a row when I was in college. And, you know, maybe he got that job too early, but he got this job now. He's never going to be an NFL head coach again. He'll just go be a coordinator. And he'll probably help some team win the Super Bowl. Probably help the Rams or the 49ers win one. Who knows? Somebody on the McVay-Shanahan tree. Maybe he goes to Cincinnati. Maybe he helps out Zach Taylor. I don't know. I have no idea. But the defensive players got to be the ones to show this team is not going to quit. And I understand that they maybe want to do that. And if they do that, I can understand, because...
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Look, the vibes are not good right now. You know, as much as I'd like to see this team turn around, it's not going to happen. But, you know, you got to try to find positive signs heading into next year. Maybe things will present themselves on offense with Cousins playing quarterback. And then on defense, you know, look where we can build. I just don't know how many more years we're going to have like Jesse Bates here. Like, is he wasting his time being here, not making the playoffs? he's a Hall of Fame level player or a guy with Hall of Fame level talent, but like you're also kind of wondering, like, was that like a bad career move to leave the Bengals to come here? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, he's been good. I think people in the league know he's good. AJ Terrell played really hard last week. He's played pretty well. But again, I'm like, can we just get some wins, man? Can we just be coached a little bit better? And the only thing that I have really any trust and faith here is Jeff Ulbrich being a good defensive coordinator. So maybe that side of the ball holds its own. So, yeah, that's all I really got here for the second down here. Let's move on to our third down here with some pass. Kirk Cousins better start earning his money now. I don't see that happening. He's played in a few games this year. He's played he's played in a Panthers game when we were out of it. He's played, you know, he started the Dolphins game. He played the other Panthers game when Penix got hurt. He's maybe played in some other spots here or there when they wanted to pull Penix out of the game. This guy's a pro. This guy's been in the league for well over a decade now. And okay, so this is good. Okay, this is breaking news here from ESPN's Adam Schefter. Michael Penix Jr. is going to undergo season-ending surgery for partially torn ACL. This is coming from Fire Branch. Adam Schefter just put this out here. So yeah, Cousins better start earning his money soon. He's the starter for the rest of the year, all seven games. You know, if you win your next seven games, you're 10-7 and maybe make the playoffs. But, you know, this isn't some Hollywood movie. This isn't happening. In a weird way, and this is not what you were hoping for in any capacity, but like Cousins is going to start earning his money, I guess, because he has to. He's going to be starting half the games this season. You know, he's going to start at least 80. He started the Dolphins game. He's going to start the final seven unless he gets hurt. And we'll see if we get some wins out of there. I think the good news is that the offense, maybe with Zach Robinson, everything like that, will be more catered to him. He's getting all the first-team reps. Penix is done. He's on the sidelines. He can recover. We'll see what he does at the start of the year. But, you know, it's going to be a different looking offense. Again, Penix didn't really want to run. Not that Cousins is going to do that either. But then you'll see maybe Mooney gets more involved in the receiving game. Because, again, Cousins had more of a rapport there with Mooney than Penix ever did. Pitts is probably going to fall out of the equation entirely. And then Lemon's going to continue to get his. It'll be interesting to see what other receiver they develop a rapport with. Again, we don't have Ray McLeod on the team anymore. Maybe Casey Washington factors. Maybe it's David Sills the fifth, or whatever his name is. Kedar Hodge. Got to find some people to throw the ball to. Charlie Werner, I don't really know. Maybe Algier out of the backfield. Certainly give the ball to Robinson here and Bijan. But I don't know. It just feels really doom and gloom in some ways. Again, like I'm trying to be positive, trying to find good things to talk about because I got to do the show twice a week for the rest of the year at least. And then in the offseason, we'll see what happens. I'm kind of more like bummed that like I'm not going to be invested in the draft. Maybe they make a trade. Maybe they give up somebody. Maybe they trade Bijan. Maybe get a first round pick out of that. I don't know. They're not going to draft. They'll draft somebody else. I don't know. It's just maddening right now. I know there's not a running back in the NFL right now, the college football, that's like him. Jeremiah loves not Bijan Robinson. He's good. I love his Bijan. Lacey at Ole Miss. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Cousins has to go in here and he has to make this happen. But you know, this is a guy that got benched, and this is a guy that, you know, is being thrust back into a big role and a big spot here because for lack of a better word, he has to. This is what he's getting paid for. He's gonna take a beating. Offensive line's kind of come and gone. Obviously, Elijah Wilkinson's getting found out a little bit more. Bergeron's been dealing with some stuff. Lindstrom's not as good as he was a year ago. Jake Matthews is still steady as always. And Neuzel, you know, it's not really been that much difference between him and Drew Dahlman and anything like that. But Cousins, he's got to go in here and he's got to make this happen. Got to try to salvage a season as best as you can, because otherwise, you know, you've got nothing left to lose except maybe seven more games. Ah, man, I literally just saw this. This always happens. Usually the news of these sort of things come after, you know, I record on Wednesday. It usually comes on Thursday. Again, Penix was going to get a second opinion here and see if he needed surgery. But, like, this kind of makes you wonder, you know, if he's even worth investing in long term. I mean, this is another injury. Again, This was a concern that I had coming into this season. He can really spin the ball. I mean, his arm is really strong, but obviously, you know, your lower body is kind of what drives it. And that's going to probably hamper his mobility even more. Oh, it's just insanely frustrating here. At least my alma mater of Georgia is really good. Might win the national championship because the Falcons, Georgia might win more playoff games this season than I think the Falcons will the rest of the year. But we're still going to try to find something positive here to talk about. And the good news is we're playing the Saints this week. So let's move on to our fourth and final topic here with some punt. Let's make a pick against the spread against those delightful New Orleans Saints. So I'm looking at this. This is the first of two games of the season. The Saints are equally crap. This is like the old NFC West games where like we're fighting for third place with the looking up at the 49ers and the Rams. So we're 3-7 and 1-4 away from home. The Saints are 2-8, 1-4 at home. Looking at ESPN bet, the Saints are laying 1.5 points. The associated money lines are the Saints -130 and the Falcons +110. And the over-under total is 40. I feel very confident. Take the under here. So I'm going to go with a final score of New Orleans 20, Atlanta 17. Again, I think I have the Saints winning and covering here. I don't really know what the Falcons offense is going to look like with Cousins under center. So I'm going to be down on that a little bit. I think the last couple of times he's gone in there this year, it's just not been good. Look at the Dolphins game. He had all week to prepare for this, and it didn't work out. The good news is the Saints are awful too. And the other thing is, even if it's on the road, this is a rivalry game. This is our biggest rival. Anything and everything can happen within the context of this game. They don't really have a quarterback either. They really don't. They probably should have drafted a guy anyway. The way the Falcons do win is I think Jalen Walker takes over and he eats Kelvin Banks Jr.'s lunch like he did last year versus Texas. James Pierce Jr. goes in there. They went with defense. Maybe Robinson. I think Bijan Robinson, the offense, can maybe get the Falcons in the end zone twice, maybe three times. If you're going to be asking for anything more than 24 points out of this team right now, I don't see it. But the defense is opportunistic. They'll force turnovers and everything like that. Got to play better on special teams. That's crucial. The other thing is, I was thinking about this before in the lead up to the show. Last year, the Saints game is kind of when it flipped for us in the negative, like the second one. You had the one where like you win on like a last second field goal where Younghoe Koo kicked like a 50 something yard field goal, his longest of his career, and then his career went completely downhill after that. And then you had the other game. I believe you won at home and you lost in New Orleans, and it was one of those things where like, the Falcons won the game they should have lost and lost the game they should have won. So remember, the Saints turned the ball over a bunch and we couldn't really do much of anything offensively. I think this is also the game where Cousins hurt his shoulder, I think, and really hit a snag there in November, December on, really after, you know, he turned into a pumpkin after Halloween, basically. So I think this is important to him. I think this is an opportunity for him to go back to, you know, where his career kind of got derailed. Maybe he can reclaim it to the best of his ability here. Again, the Saints aren't very good. This is a new coaching staff. This is Kellen Moore as the head coach, Doug Nussmeier as the OC, and then Brandon Staley as defensive coordinator. Staley's not a head coach at all, but pretty good defensive mind. Again, I think that's going to kind of be a push between him and Ulbrich. Again, Nussmeier and Robinson are still relatively new to this, but Nussmeier has been a play caller before. Maybe not in the NFL, but like certainly in college. We have more talent than they do on offense. Defensively, maybe about the same. They also traded, Shaheen to the Seahawks or something like that, too, earlier in the season. Saints are kind of looking towards, like, you know, being towards the top of the draft, looking to draft someone like Ty Simpson out of Alabama, Fernando Mendoza out of Indiana, Dante Moore out of Oregon, maybe Garrett Nussmeier out of LSU, potentially. Go play for Papa Doug. But I'm doing the emo hedge. I'm going to pick the Saints to win here. But I think this could serve as a way for the Falcons to kind of somehow salvage their season. And again, I don't want to see them tank. I don't want to see them hit the skids, give the Rams an even better pick. I want to see them, you know, try to find something, try to play for something, show some heart, show some toughness. You know, football's a game that, you know, you want to try to it's tough when you get your ass kicked every week. You know, you look in the college game, Penn State hadn't won for like six in a row. And they finally beat Michigan State, who hasn't won a game in over 2 months. But like that's kind of what we're looking at. One of those kind of games. And that's a rivalry game there too in the Big Ten. Looking at that here in the NFC, I don't know, I'm kind of intrigued. It's also a 4:25 start. I'm sure like Fox or I guess whoever has that game. I'm gonna check real quick. That would be but Fox is probably like, why are we playing this at 4:25? This is a 1 o'clock game if they've ever seen one. It may not be the case here, but I don't know. I'm pulling for a win here. I think that like as long as the team can kind of be honest within themselves, there's a game plan to win. Use Bijan Robinson, have Cousins start to play with a little more confidence, play with great defense, and then take care of the Saints, who aren't very good either. You know what? You know what you need to do? Oh, what a damn division game. You're 0-3 at this point. You got swept by the Panthers. You lost to the Bucks. You got to play the Bucks at their place on Thursday night, and then you finish the season at home versus the Saints. No one's going to go to that game. Maybe I will. I don't know. But it's a wild time out there. For sure. And this was episode 68 of the Blog and Dirty podcast. You can follow me, John Bueller, on Twitter or the X at Bueller118. You can follow the show on YouTube at Blog and Dirty FS. You can follow along on Twitter at Blog and Dirty. Be sure to watch, like, comment, subscribe on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere there's podcasts. Give us a 5-star review. Really helps the show grow. Again, I'll be coming to you guys semi-live after the Falcons-Saints game on Sunday to recap whatever the hell goes down in New Orleans. Be sure to read all of your Falcons content there on blogandirty.com, fansided.com, atlday.com, nflspinzone.com. If you love college football like I do, definitely check that out there on, just follow me on Twitter. You know, I put all my stuff on there, and I've got a Facebook author page that basically curates everything that I write on any college site. So yeah, got an exciting time here. It's my fiance's birthday coming up this weekend. We're gonna have a little good time here. So you know, taking a couple of days off from work, I'll be back ready to rock. You know, on Saturday and Sunday and everything after that. You know, just this team, man. This team, it does it to us every single time. We are a certain breed. We are one of one. Once again, thanks for listening. And this is the Blog and Duty podcast.